In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The teaching we are presented with today revolves around an emotion almost as old as humanity itself. Anger. Throughout history, we have seen the havoc that unchecked anger can wreak, tearing apart communities, estranging families, and undermining our personal peace. When left unchecked, anger quickly becomes like an untamed wildfire up in Canada, consuming everything in its path, leaving only charred remains and smoke behind. But what does our faith, our Holy Scriptures, and our Savior Jesus Christ teach us about this fiery emotion? How are we, as followers of Christ, expected to navigate through the fumes and the flames of anger? The answer lies in understanding God's original design for humanity. So let's journey back together to the beginning, back to the pure state of our existence before the dawn of sin. And let's acquire God's perspective on our anger. Imagine, if you will, the pristine Garden of Eden. We come now to that very moment when God created our parents, the first of our kind, Adam and Eve. God formed them with overwhelming beauty, fashioning them with honor, authority, and great value. Surpassing all his previous works, God created us in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. We were created for fellowship, to enjoy each other's company, to share together in the benevolent and bounteous gifts of our God and of his creation. This was the breathtaking life our God created for us, that we might share in it with him forevermore. And in this spectacular vision, our fellowship with each other beautifully reflected the perfect unity of the eternal Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our sin, however, our rebellion, tainted this divine image and destroyed the vision supreme. In our rebellion against God, we caused rifts in our relationships, sowed the seeds of devastation, and sparked the fires of dangerous emotions, like anger. One of the most striking biblical examples of the damaging power of anger is the story of Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve's first sons. In a fit of anger and jealousy, Cain cursed the life that God had designed for him and put a dramatic end to what was supposed to be a beautiful and joyous relationship with his brother. While the two men were together in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. The story marks the first and greatest of our human tragedies after the fall. It is a story which serves for all time as a grim reminder to the extent to which anger can escalate and lead to actions that violate God's sacred gifts and love. These brothers were not designed for this. Their fellowship was not supposed to end. They were meant to be bonded together as brothers, to be fruitful, to share their gifts, to bear each other's burdens, to be each other's shoulders to cry upon, and the source of one another's encouragement and joy. But anger led to the death of all that was or all that might have been. Anger led to a new reality, to a lonely one marked by blood. by wandering, by grief and scarcity, a punishment, which Cain said, is greater than I can bear. Thus we see how anger stands contrary to God's original design for us men, and to the effect anger has both upon victim and culprit alike. Our understanding of anger deepens as we reflect upon the fifth commandment, "You shall not murder." On the surface, this commandment seems clear, straightforward. Don't do what Cain did. But Christ, whose shed blood speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, teaches us the true meaning of this commandment. Beloved, do not even feel what Cain felt. For I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Here Christ puts forward that harboring anger towards your brother is equal to murder. It equally severs relationships, ruptures communities, and stands contrary to who God is, who He has made us to be, and the law which He has written into His creation and given us in His Word. Therefore, those who harbor this equally detestable emotion will be equally condemned alongside murderers. Thus says the Lord. Now we might ask ourselves, who then can be saved? I think I was angry this morning even. Under the law, we all stand condemned. So as baptized Christians, where does this leave us? Beloved, through the waters of baptism, as Paul writes, we are clothed in Christ. Our old sinful nature, condemned by the law, is drowned and put to death with Christ on the cross, there in the waters of baptism. All our anger, our hatred, our broken relationships and murderous thoughts and deeds are put to death in Christ's death. In place of your old sinful self, a new self emerges. Up from the waters of death and decay comes a washed and forgiven child, a new self reborn in Christ's purity and righteousness. All that Christ is, all that He did, His holy life, His brotherly works, and His self-sacrificial death for we men who killed Him, all His righteousness is given to us as our own. The law that condemns and kills our sinful nature condemns us no longer. Sin has no more dominion over us. The new man is righteous and free. We stand not under the law, Paul says, but under grace. Everyone who believes and is baptized is righteous. You are righteous. In the eyes of God, righteous. In Christ, oh my brothers and sisters, in Christ you have a new heart. A righteous heart that leaves no room for anger. Anger must go. It must flee to some other harbor. For this temple is already occupied, and there is no room for another. God abides here, and the train of His robes fills this temple. We are covered in His righteousness. So anger be gone and bother me no more. This heart is filled with the love of Christ alone. Praise be to God. So then, my brethren, what should be our response when temptations to anger arise? Because they will. Our response shall echo the words of Christ. Anger is not who I am. It has no dominion over me. I am baptized, and even if my flesh deceives me and I do fall, I shall repent of my anger at once and following after that lamb whose blood has set me free. I shall go at once to my brother who is angry with me and seek reconciliation. That concord, that life, that peace to which Christ has called us. He alone has restored our relationship with the Father. And by becoming our brother in the flesh and by dying for us, He has set right our brotherhood in the bond of peace. Therefore, let us strive together to preserve our fellowship and do away with anything that threatens to oppose it. Let us love the brotherhood as Christ has loved us. In practical terms, how do we live out this gospel, this message? Firstly, by acknowledging that our sinful anger is contrary to God's design, to His commandments, to the identity in Christ that we have, and to the new life into which God has birthed us. And secondly, we live out this gospel by actively seeking reconciliation when we feel anger brewing or when our brother is angry with us. In moments of temptation, failure, and sin, we turn to prayer, to Scripture, to holy absolution, and to the sacraments which Christ freely bestows on us. In short, we turn to Jesus in the here and the now to find our strength and our peace. We rely on His Spirit to cleanse and transform our hearts, to replace our anger with His love, to replace our disputes with His understanding, our short tempers with His patience, our blood shed for His shed blood. My dear brothers and sisters, as we close our sermon for today, let us carry this gospel forward. Anger is not an emotion we were created to hold or harbor in our hearts. It stands in opposition to God's law and finds no place in our renewed baptismal life. We are righteous by God's grace through faith in our Lord and brother, Jesus Christ. So it is. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God of love and mercy, we give You thanks for the life You created for us, the life You have restored to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us always as You have promised, and help us to recognize and manage our anger. Help us to live out our baptismal identity in line with Your divine law and will for our lives. Empower us through Your Holy Spirit to cultivate love, patience, and understanding, reflecting the love of Christ in all our relationships. Where we have fallen short, forgive us and pick us up. Where our relationships are in tatters, reestablish them. And where our fellowship together wanes, bring it forth into the brightness of Your Word. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We stand to sing the offertory.